redeeming the time. Do you know the value of time? I don't know that we really do. What if tomorrow you could have 26 hours in the day instead of 24? Would that be beneficial? Have there been some days where you wish the day was longer than it was? I'm sure there were probably some days when you wished it was shorter than it was. But I can assure you, when you're pressed for time and you're in a pinch, you probably wished for some longer days. The reality is, if we're to understand the value of time, I want you to consider a few things. I ran across this years ago. To realize the value of 1 year, you need to ask a student who failed a grade. And they'll tell you the value of a year. If you want to understand the value of 1 month, just ask a mother whose baby came into the world through birth premature, a month early. And they'll tell you the value of a month. It wasn't until recently that I really understood, just from some different situations that folks in our church had been through, the value of that last month that the baby develops in the womb. If you want to realize the value of 1 minute, just ask a person who missed their airplane. If you want to understand the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided an accident. If you want to understand the value of a millisecond, then talk to the person who just won the silver medal in the Olympics. There is great value in time. Matter of fact, time is so valuable that the Bible tells us, God says, we are to redeem the time. He not only says it here, but in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 5, he tells us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, talking about those who don't know Christ. And then he puts this antithesis on it, redeeming the time. We need to be redeeming the time. And so twice in Paul's epistles, in Ephesians and in Colossians, Paul says it is important that we redeem the time. Think about how much time there is in a year. Do you know that a year is comprised of 12 months? And a year is also comprised, if you want to break it down differently, of 52 weeks. And most of us know that. But if you begin to break it down even further than that, we'd struggle to understand, maybe some of us, that there are 365 days in a year. Amen? And when you get beyond that and you begin to talk about hours, there are 8,000. Easy for me to say. Chance, did you just shoot a spitball at me? There are 8,760 hours in a year. There are 525,600 minutes in a year. And if you're counting, there are 31,536,000 seconds in a year. And if I understand what God is saying through the Apostle Paul, we are to redeem every month, every week, every day, every hour, every minute, and every second of the time that God has given unto us. He commands us to redeem the time. And when He commands it unto us, our obedience is expected. God expects us to make the most of the time that He's given unto us. So what does it mean to redeem the time? I want you to consider this evening three specific aspects about redeeming the time. Number one, if we're going to understand what redeeming the time is, you and I need to understand that time matters. First of all, time matters. Time is valuable. Do you understand how valuable time really is? It's obviously valuable unto God. You know, the greatest gift that you can give is time. You can give money to folks, and folks may think that's marvelous and wonderful, but that's not the most valuable thing you can give. The most valuable thing you can give is your time, because once you have given your time, you can never, ever, ever recover it. Once it's given, it's gone. Once you've given that moment or that period of time to somebody, that time is gone. You'll never recover it or get it back. And so time is valuable, and there are some things to consider about time. Time is a gift from God. Someone said, yesterday is history, Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Amen? I don't know what all that means, but I do know this. Every day that we live is a gift from God. You know, God's the giver of life. The Bible tells us that. The length of our days are in His hands. God literally holds us in His hands. I was talking yesterday with Miss Annette, Brother Rick's sister, and it's interesting when we get in positions where our mortality becomes obvious to us. Then all of a sudden we realize that we're in God's hands. But honestly, every one of us are in God's hands right now. And you and I don't know, we don't know what the next 30 seconds holds for us, let alone the next 30 days or the next 3 years. We have no idea. But we are constantly in God's hands. God holds us in His hands. God gives us the time that we have. He chooses. He's the one who establishes the length of our days because they are in His hands. People do everything they can to expand or extend their time. But each and every day of life, it is a gift that God gives unto us. You know, time is a responsibility of ours. It's not only a gift from God, but it's a responsibility that God has given unto us. With that gift that God has placed in our hand comes a responsibility to use it the way God would have us to. He entrusts us with time, and we're to be caretakers of God's gift of time. Time is to be used for our edification. It's also to be used for God's glorification. We're to use it for our good and for God's glory, and that involves a whole host of things in honoring and exalting Him. And you and I, we can either use God's time for His glory and our good, or we can abuse it. There's a passage in Luke 19. A few weeks back, we looked in Matthew 25. It's a parallel passage. It's a passage of a Lord who had gone off into a far country, had some servants that He left behind, and He entrusted unto them talents. There's a differing in between the two parables. In Matthew 25, He gives one of the servants 5 talents, the other 2, and one. And they're required to invest those. In Luke 19, it's a little bit different. He gives every one of them 1 talent. And then he gives them this instruction in verse 13. He says, occupy till I come. He entrusts them with talents, and then he says, occupy till I come. The word occupy, it means to do business. In other words, you need to be busy until I return. You need to be involved in the business, in my business that I've laid out before you. Don't sit on it. Don't lay it up. Don't carry it around in your pocket. You need to be busy with it. You need to be investing it in the kingdom of God. Use the gifts that God has given wisely for His glory. He talks about there's a reckoning that takes place. In both Matthew 25 and in Luke 19, He comes back and He inspects the lives and the accomplishments of each one of the servants to find out what they did with the gift, the talents that God had given unto them. And based upon their faithfulness, God pronounces unto them whether they were good and faithful servants or whether they weren't. And then based upon that responsibility and based upon their accountability, God gives more unto those who've been faithful. But He communicates unto them that ultimately they have a responsibility as servants of God, that one day they'll be accountable. And what He's proclaiming unto you and I is that God has given us, He's equipped us and gifted us with abilities and talents to build His kingdom. And there's coming a day when we stand before Him that we'll be accountable with what we've done that God's put in our hands. So you better occupy till I come. That doesn't mean just sit around on the premises. Again, it means to be busy. It means to be investing, and it means to be using what God has given unto you, the talents and abilities, invest them for the glory of God. Well, if you enter into that equation, the concept, the idea of time is a gift that God has given unto us. One of the greatest gifts God has given is time. And we're responsible and accountable with the time that God has given unto us. You know, I think there are times when we think that our time is our time. But it's really not. It's time that God has yielded unto us. And God anticipates and expects that we'll use it for Him. And so I would submit unto us tonight that first of all, time matters. Secondly, the second aspect. I want to look at time management. Time management is a hot topic. There have been numbers of books that have been written on time management. The Lord tells us that we are to be redeeming the time. It's the idea of properly managing our time. The word redeem, it means to buy back. It's the idea of making the most of our time. In other words, He's telling us we should take advantage of every opportunity, of every situation that God gives us. We're to be taking advantage of the time that God gives us. And so we're to manage our time so that it is personally and eternally profitable. You know what? Salvation is free, but there's an awful lot that God expects from us when we embrace Him through faith in Christ, isn't there? Are you listening? I mean, we love to run around and talk about the free gift of salvation, and it is. And what Jesus did for us, there's no way you and I ever could have accomplished that on our own. But because of what He did for us, out of our love and affection for Him, we should be yielded and surrendered unto Him. But there are things that God anticipates and expects from us simply because we name the name of Christ and we follow Him. And one of those things is that we yield our time unto Him. Ephesians 5:15, we looked at it earlier. It said, walk circumspectly, walk carefully. Don't be foolish, be wise. In other words, you need to have a plan and you need to execute that plan in your life of how you're going to fill your days laboring and toiling for the Lord. Imagine that your bank, every day, credited to your account 86,400 pennies. Every day. Every day they put $864 in your account. But there was one stipulation. The stipulation was, it had to be spent each and every day. There'd be no balance that would carry over. When you got to the end of the day, that $864, if you didn't spend it, the balance that wasn't spent would be wiped out and you'd start at zero again the next day. What would you do? Well, I know what I'd do. I'd spend at least $864 every day. Amen? I'd get my money's worth. Well, there is a bank in that sense that does credit unto us 86,400 seconds. And no balances are carried over from one day to the next. At the end of the day, every night, it is wiped off any part that you fail to use. You and I need to be wise in managing the time that God's given us. Benjamin Franklin said this, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." There's some steps that we need to consider as we manage and redeem the time that God's given us. You and I need to prioritize. We need to prioritize. It is interesting to me that the older I get, maybe I become a little bit more jaded and cynical. But it's interesting to me how people prioritize in their lives. Now, I know this. When I was younger, I wasn't very good at all at prioritizing. And I dare say the way I prioritize now is probably a reflection of how poor I was at prioritizing when I was younger. But it is amazing how some folks make very little effort in establishing what really ought to be a priority in life. And it seems like folks, they chase after the incidentals and leave the priorities on the table. There's a man that was hosting a time management seminar, and he was doing it for business people. And while he was teaching them, he used an object lesson. He took a big 1 gallon jar and he laid it on the table. He pulled out some stones that he had underneath, and they were 12 fairly large stones, and he began to place them inside that glass container. He got as many in there as he could, and then he said to the folks that were gathered for the seminar, he said, "Is the jar full?" And as they looked at it, it seemed to be fairly full, and they said, "Yeah, it's full. There's no way you can get another one of those stones in there." And he said, well, it's not really full, because then he pulled out some gravel and he began to dump the gravel in, and it worked its way in around the large stones and began to fill up around it. And when he finished with that, he said, is it full now? And there were some who said, yes, and others catching on said, no. He got some sand out and he began to pour the sand, and the sand went down in between the gravel and in among the big stones and began to fill it up even more. And finally, he poured water in on top of all of that until it was filled to the brim. And then he said to them, do you know what the point of this illustration is? And one of the businessmen, he said, well, that's easy. You want us to understand that no matter how full your schedule is, you can always fit something else in. And he said, no. The point is this. If you don't put the big rocks in first, you won't be able to fit in anything else. And they said, like you are saying, what? Yeah, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get the other stuff in. You'll never get the big rocks in. You know, you have big rocks in your life. We have spouse. Some of you have children, grandchildren. You have friendships. You have education. You have dreams and aspirations. Doing things that you love and your health. And he reminds them of all of those big things in their life. And he says, you need to remember to put them in first or you'll never get them in at all. And I would submit unto you that our priorities are probably somewhat different than maybe that group of businessmen. But every one of us have big rocks in our life. And our life is like that glass jar. You can only get so much in. You are limited in the sense of time and space. And if you don't prioritize by getting the big things in, like your relationship with God and your service to God and your family and the truly important things in life, if you don't prioritize and get those in your life first, you're not going to have room to get them in. And honestly, that's where a whole lot of folks live. They dump all the sand and gravel and water in, and they don't have time for the bigger things because they got all the insignificant things ahead of it. We need to learn to prioritize. You need to put the things that really are important first in your life. And the sad reality is there are too many Christians that just don't have time for the big rocks in life. Time magazine in June 2005 said this. It was talking about how studies have shown that the added benefit of putting God first in your life. And they said this, number one, heart surgery patients who draw comfort from their religious faith have a significantly higher survival rate than those who do not. Isn't that interesting? If you're a person of faith and you trust the Lord and you are a heart surgery patient, you have a much better ability to recover than if you don't. They said, secondly, the blood pressure of people who attend church is 5 points lower than that of those who do not. I don't believe that. Because I try to get your blood pressure up every time we get together. He said, thirdly, people with religious faith who attend church regularly experience less depression than non-religious people, while suicide is 4 times higher among non-churchgoers. Now, that was the bastion of conservative truth, Time magazine. Amen? Interesting. We need to prioritize in life. And then added on to that, not only do we need to prioritize, but I'm going to invent a word, we need to opportunize. We need to take advantage of opportunities, don't we? I mean, I thought they sounded good together. We need to take advantage of opportunities. There are some things you cannot afford to miss. Have you ever thought about the opportunity you had to get saved? Now, I know probably the majority of us here tonight probably know the Lord. And just looking around, some of you, it may have been years ago when you were first afforded that opportunity to give your heart to Christ. But have you thought about that? What if you hadn't taken advantage? Whether it was a revival service or someone came and visited you at your home, somebody witnessed to you at work, maybe it was in your own home, your parents went through the gospel with you. What if you hadn't taken advantage of that? Where would you be right now? where would you be? You know, the difference between those of us that are saved and the lost world that surrounds us is that we have taken advantage of the opportunity to give our heart to Christ through salvation. And there are numerous folks in our world, in our culture, that haven't taken advantage of it. But we've been given an opportunity to get saved. And you know what? Week after week, we gather in God's house, and there are times when people come into God's house and they're given an opportunity to take advantage of the offer of salvation, and there are always folks who resist and repel that opportunity, and who knows if they'll ever have another opportunity to get right with God. You may be here tonight. And God is giving you an opportunity. You may not even have been listening prior, but God's giving you an opportunity tonight to get right with Him, to get your sin forgiven, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you don't take advantage of it tonight, who knows when that opportunity comes around again, if ever. God determines. He determines when we're drawn unto Him. Well, we don't just stop and decide we're coming unto Him. God's the one who draws us. He entices us first. He speaks unto us and draws us unto Him. And if we don't respond when God is drawing, then we may not have that opportunity again in the future. We need to take advantage of the opportunity to get saved. There are so many who say, well, I'll get around to it later. I'll do it later. You know, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You better, if God's speaking to you about that issue of salvation, you better get to it now. And then on the flip side of that, those of us who've been saved, we always talk about what we're going to do for the Lord. We talk about how we're going to get involved and we're going to be invested in service. We talk about what we're going to do someday for God. The novelist Lewis Boone said this, "I definitely am going to take a course on time management just as soon as I can work it into my schedule." Problem is we don't get around to doing a lot of things we say we're going to do. And too many of us are like that about serving God. How many times have you heard folks say, if I just had more time, I'd get involved? You ever heard folks say that? Elizabeth Elliot said this, "There is always enough time to do the will of God. We can never say, I don't have time." You know what I know? People have time to do what they want to do. Just bottom line. When you and I start blowing smoke about, I don't have time for this and I don't have time for that, you're just telling folks, that's not what I want to do. It's not an issue of not having time. You're just saying, that's not what I want to do. And you've given something else a greater priority in your life than that. And the sad reality is oftentimes it falls to serving the Lord and being involved in the work of God. We need to prioritize our time and take advantage of the opportunities to serve the Lord and also to give our heart unto Him. The time to serve God is now. I ran across this poem years ago. It says, "There's a loving letter I mean to send. There's a visit I mean to pay. There's a careless habit I hope to mend when I get time someday. There's a dusty Bible I mean to read. There's an hour I'll keep to pray. And I'll turn each dream to a golden deed when I get time someday. I'll carry flowers to the sick and sad. I'll seek for those who stray. You may trace my steps by hearts made glad when I get time someday. So we've thought and so we've said, yet how sad to relate that busy with less important things, we've waited until too late." And the sad thing is, there are a lot of folks who've waited too long and waited too late to do the things they were going to do for the Lord. We need to be involved in time management. Time matters. Time management. Number three, and I'm through. I want you to consider tonight time mishandled. I want you to consider time mishandled. U.S. News and World Report estimated that the average American in their lifetime will spend 1 month sitting at stoplights. Can you imagine that? In your lifetime, you'll spend a month sitting at stoplights. Where is Tyler at tonight? Because I believe I've logged more than a month at that stoplight right down here on 82 and 69. Amen? It's never your turn to go. Have you ever approached the light and it been your turn? It's like there's somebody sitting down there at the corner and they know as I'm approaching, it's not his time. And so you sit. And you sit. Have you ever tried to go out at the side light right here? You know, it's better now than it used to be. There was a time when if you were on this side sitting there, the little pad underneath wasn't working. And so it never even registered that you were there. You want to finish this? So, the Aldot guy, yeah. It was timed, huh? Well, I don't know what they were timing it with. It wasn't in minutes. It must have been days. Because you would set and set. Somebody told me, I think it was Justin and Kathy, because they come across. It's 2 minutes, isn't it? 2 minutes. 2 minutes before that light changes. You start stacking that up over the years, and you'll log a lot of time sitting at stoplights. They also said that Americans spend 3 months looking for misplaced objects. I can believe that. I think 3 months is a little low. If you've been in my office, 3 months, yeah. Now this didn't apply, but they said the average American will spend 4 years doing housework. And then they also said the average American, and I think this was a little low, spends 6 years in their life eating. Well, I got that beat. And they went on to talk about how we have so much wasted time in our life. But there are some ways that we waste time. Well, I think back to the reality that I didn't get saved till I was 24 years old. You know, I know 24 is not ancient, but there's a lot of water went under the bridge. There were a lot of wasted years. And I wasted a lot of time on sinful living. The sad reality is not only did I waste time, but those years of sinful living, they bring about some consequences. And they leave some scars. And there's some things that God had to work through in my life that if I'd gotten saved earlier, he never would have had to work through. Amen? But we live in a world where people are wasting their life on sinful living. And we run across folks from time to time, and you think, why are you investing all of your time and all of your life in that? Because there's no return in sin. There may be pleasure for a season, but ultimately there's no lasting return to a sinful life, and yet folks are enamored with it, and they yield their whole time unto it. And we live in a culture that is extremely selfish. And there are so many people who waste their lives on their self. They waste their life on their self. God doesn't want us to waste time on sin. And he certainly doesn't want us to waste time on self. So can I ask you tonight, will you redeem the time that God has given you? Will you prioritize in your life? Will you put God first? Will you get around to doing the things that God wants you to do? Will you decide, I'm going to quit talking about it and I'm going to start doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing? Take advantage of the opportunities that God's given you. Let's redeem the time and make the most of what God has given unto us. Let's not waste time on sin. We're not going to waste it on self. We're going to use our time for the glory of our God and for our benefit in serving Him and in honoring Him. Let's not waste time. Let's redeem the time that God's given. Let's bow for prayer.